Politicians kicked off social media may get their day in court, the Supreme Court. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams. Who's allowed on a platform like Twitter or Facebook, and who decides what people can say there, is increasingly becoming a legal issue. A Texas decision handed down earlier this month in the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals gave the go-ahead to a law that gives users the right to sue social media platforms for removing content based on viewpoint. But this week, the 11th Circuit Court declared parts of a similar social media law in Florida unconstitutional. Issy Lepowski is Protocol's chief correspondent, and she explained just what was in Florida's initial law.
This law would prohibit these social media companies from deplatforming politicians. It would prohibit them from prioritizing or deprioritizing any posts about those politicians in people's feeds. That law was pretty immediately blocked. It's been awaiting appeal, and that block is still in place. And they basically said that this law is very likely to violate the First Amendment, or at least the core parts of the law are. That's a very different result than we've gotten in Texas, which is facing a similar law, and a court there recently lifted an injunction allowing that law to take effect.
How does the law in Texas compare to the law in Florida?
It gets at this same idea around alleged censorship, alleged bias, but rather than just taking aim at the politician speech, it is a little bit broader. It says that these platforms would be prohibited from discriminating on the basis of viewpoint. Viewpoint is obviously a very fuzzy term, very open to interpretation, and the platforms are in a really, really bad shape if this law is allowed to stand, because they stand to just face innumerable lawsuits where, you know, a platform like Facebook may have removed something because it seems a hate speech, but somebody could sue them and say, that's not hate speech, you removed it because I'm a Republican, or you removed it because of my conservative viewpoint, or whatever it might be. It would be really catastrophic for the industry, not to mention the effects it would have on what people would be forced to see on these platforms. Because if a company like Facebook is afraid it's going to get sued out the wazoo, it's going to really chill the amount of content moderation that they do. That could mean a huge increase in the amount of, you know, hate and violence that appears on these platforms in Texas. And so the plaintiffs in that case, who are big tech industry groups, have gone to the Supreme Court and said, please toss out this Fifth Circuit decision and put the injunction back in place.
Apart from sort of the legal and constitutional validity of this, how possible is it for tech companies to impose those kinds of restrictions on a state-level basis?
We do see places in the world where tech companies do, you know, geo-fence their policies, right? So, you know, a country like Germany has very different speech rules than a country like the U.S., and we're seeing that increasingly of laws around the world, all of which are trying to demand something different.
Since the Fifth Circuit lifted that injunction, what does that mean in practice for these tech companies?
The industry groups that represent them, NetChoice and CCIA, pretty immediately filed an emergency application with the Supreme Court, asking the court to put the injunction back in place. And so basically what we're waiting on now is the Supreme Court's decision. They won't decide on the fundamental underlying legality of that Texas law. They're just deciding in this instance on the injunction.
Issy Lepowski is Protocol's chief correspondent. And now for some related links. Justice Clarence Thomas is famously quiet when it comes to participating in Supreme Court oral arguments. But Issy mentioned one thing he has been outspoken about is reforming Section 230. That's the law that says internet platforms aren't legally responsible for what people post on them. Justice Thomas has argued social media companies should be treated like common carriers, think utilities like the electric or gas company, and subject to more regulations. You can read Issy's piece on Justice Thomas and the Florida-Texas legal battles on our website, marketplacetech.org. And last month, you might have heard about Florida revoking Disney's special tax status in the state after the company came out against the state's so-called Don't Say Gay law. Well, Disney's taxes weren't the only thing affected. In Florida's social media law, there was initially a carve-out for companies like theme parks to avoid lawsuits. But Florida Governor Ron DeSantis overturned that provision. So now Disney could be held to the same standards as Facebook. The Intercept has that story. And if you're curious about how social media platforms and advocacy groups are weighing in on these cases, we'll include a link to an Ars Technica summary on the legal briefs several of those groups filed with the Supreme Court, arguing the Texas law, quote, poses a direct threat to healthy and safe online communities. As of this taping, the Supreme Court hasn't issued its decision yet, but court watchers are expecting it any day now. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.